Now then, I am going to need some volunteers this morning. Two volunteers. I am going to need one small volunteer and one not so small volunteer. Now, I do need a small volunteer who is a boy, who would like a dagger. I'm going to introduce you. I'm going to introduce you to the two main characters of the story that I'm going to tell you today. And then our two volunteers are going to be acting it out. So first of all, I want to introduce you to our hero, Ehud. Now, Ehud was left-handed. Show everybody your left hand. Right. You need to hold your dagger in your left hand. Okay? Keep it in your left hand, not your right. Now, in Ehud's day, being left-handed was a sign of weakness. You see, the right hand was used to pass on the blessing. Not the left hand. If you were going to bless your children or bless somebody, you always used the right hand to do it. You can tell that in the story of Isaac and Jacob, when he goes to bless and he crosses his hand over, so his right hand blesses the one he wants to. So the right hand, the left hand is seen as a sign of weakness. The right hand is used to pass on blessing. Good things are separated to the right. Bad things are separated to the left. Like in Matthew 25. The right hand does all the important stuff. Being left-handed was rare and made you rather odd and was seen as a weakness. Now, you can see part of this, you can see in British culture as well, because do any of you know why we shake hands with the right hand traditionally? Not just because we're right-handed. This... Yes, sword. I didn't know this. Faith explained this to me. Because an English gentleman would always wear his sword on the left side and draw it with his right hand, like so. Which meant if he came up to you and presented his right hand to you, it was a sign of peace. He couldn't stab you with his other hand because he couldn't draw his sword. Now, this brings us to an interesting fact about Ehud. Must remember, Ehud is left-handed, so he puts his sword on the right-hand side. But nobody would search the right-hand side of a person for a weapon because they didn't expect to find one there. We'll come back to that later in the story, but for now, remember two things. Ehud is left-handed, and being left-handed is a sign of weakness back in the days of Ehud. Now, I need to introduce you to our other main character, the villain. I will need a volunteer for this in a minute. But first, before the volunteers, I need to demonstrate something to you. Excuse me. Now. I need someone to do me up, if someone could zip me up at the back in a moment. Well, okay. So I'll need a volunteer who is, yes, Josh, certainly. Right. There we go. Make a nice... Right then. Now, we need to meet our evil villain. Our evil villain is called King Eglon. And the thing you need to know about King Eglon was that he was extremely large. Now, the thing about being extremely large in the days of King Eglon is that when, in the days of King Eglon, being very, very large made you a celebrity. Somebody who was really, really big had celebrity status, like a Kardashian. And the reason for this is because peasants were thin.
seventh were thin because they couldn't afford much food and they couldn't afford to be lazy. The other thing King Eglon liked to do was he liked to have a little dance and a shimmy.
Now, the bigger you were, the fatter you were, the more powerful it said you were, the more famous and the more rich you looked.
So, this was because you could afford the best food and servants, so that you could lie around and be lazy.
Sized King Eglon.
Right, could we have our volunteer, please?
Well, I...
Tell yourself. Volunteer? I thought Josh was volunteering, unless Aled wants to. Go on, Aled. Okay. Right. We'll let Aled go. Now then. So, once you're zipped in, we'll need to turn on the fan. Let's put this in your pocket to start with, maybe. Just so that... There we go. We'll put that in your pocket. And there we go. Let's help you out here. We've got... somebody bought it for me as a present. Christmas present. A birthday present. Right. Next one in there. Certainly, if you would help him in. Right, and we have a crown for Aled here. If we could pop that on your head there. King Eglon, oh mighty king. Right, so, Ehud, if you could take to the stage here. And we'll have King Eglon in a moment. We'll have King Eglon that side and Ehud on this side. So, we remember, Ehud left-handed, sign of weakness. King Eglon, supersized, sign of power, might, prestige, and all things great. Now then, are we ready for a story from Judges 3? Now then, I'd like you to act out this story as I tell it. Okay, so just think of anything you can do to act it out as I tell the story. Now, here we go. Are we ready? Are you sitting comfortably? Then I shall begin. Cruel King Eglon is making life miserable for the Jews, and everyone has to give him their money. Go and ask everyone for money, King Eglon. He says, I'm... Oh, there we go. Oh, take the pan around. Ask, look evil and ask for money. There we go. So, cruel King Eglon says he's so rich and powerful, he's going to take everybody's money. Says, I'm rich and powerful, give me more money so I can eat more food and get even bigger. Now then, okay, Eglon, you can go back to your palace and sit there. Okay, so Eglon's back in his palace, and our hero... the left-handed ninja assassin, Ehud, hides a sword on his right leg where people won't think to look for it. Stick it in your sock if you've got one, yeah. Oh, you haven't got a sock. Okay, so he hides his sword on his right leg where nobody will think to look for it. Then he collects up all the money that evil King Eglon is demanding, and he takes the money to the palace to give everybody's money to the king. And he does. He kneels down before the king and says, here is your money, O mighty king. We love you. And then he asks to come back. Afterwards, he comes back to the king and he says,
Mighty King Eglon, I need to see you in private with a secret message.
Is that your hand trying to say that?
I need to see you in private. I have a secret message.
A secret message? King Eglon strokes his chin. He thinks. I like secrets, says the king.
I like secrets.
He orders everyone out of the room. Begone, everyone. And then he leans forward to hear Ehud's message so Ehud can whisper in his ear. The secret message. Ehud, quick as a flash, reaches with his left hand, grabs his sword from its place hidden on his right leg, and plunges the sword into the king's enormous belly, and it disappears! Oh, it disappears. Then it disappears, hang on. It disappears. Oh, there it goes. It's gone. It's gone. It disappears. And then our brave but stinky ninja locks the king's door from the inside, holds his nose, and escapes down the toilet chute. God uses what is seen as weakness to triumph over what is seen as strength, and Israel has peace for 80 years. Give them all a round of applause. Okay, you can take that off. Let's unzip you to let the air out. Okay, if someone could help him out of that, well, we carry on. Now, using people the world considers weak to defeat the strong is a theme that carries on all throughout the Bible, from the very beginning right to the very end. Think about it. God chooses... Now, in Israelite culture, you would always choose the firstborn to pass on all your money and your wealth and your blessing to. Everything would go through the firstborn, because the firstborn, being first, was a sign of strength and blessing. But God, time and time again, almost always throughout Scripture, chooses the secondborn or even the youngest over the first many times. Think about the story of Joseph. Joseph was too young. He was the youngest in the family. He was too young, but God uses him to rescue an entire nation. What about Josiah? Josiah was only a boy, but God chose him to be one of the best kings that they had. What about King David? He wasn't just too young, but he was too short as well, apparently. Too young and too short. And the list goes on. The prophet Jeremiah was apparently too young. But then, what about Sarah? Well, she was too old. But God chose her for his rescue plan for the whole world. And then, well, back in those days, women were seen as weaker as well than the men, and they didn't get much of a look in. But when God chose Deborah, Jael, and Esther, and the women to be the first at Jesus' tomb, God chose what was weak in the eyes of the world for his to carry out his amazing plans and to defeat the strong. So this theme goes on throughout the Bible. But the ultimate story of weakness triumphing over strength is Jesus. God chooses the weakness of becoming a human being to show his strength. How incredible is that? Think about that just again for a moment. God chooses the weakness of becoming a human being to show his strength to the world. Not only that, but the ultimate sign of weakness was Jesus' seeming defeat by his enemies when he allowed them to kill him on the cross. What could be weaker than that? But Jesus used human weakness to defeat sin and death on your behalf. Isn't that incredible? God uses the things that are seen weak in the eyes of the world at different times in history and uses them for strength to defeat the things that we see as strong. I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians 12, 9-10, where Paul is saying this. God is speaking to Paul, and God says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And I want to say to you this morning, to accept Jesus' free gift of life and friendship with God through Jesus, you need to be willing to admit your weakness. You need to surrender, admit to God your own weakness, and surrender to God in order to follow Jesus' example. Then your weakness is turned to strength by God's power. Amen?
Amen.
So, what I'd like us to do today, this morning, is to just admit once again, for some the first time, for many it won't be, but for those that want to, we're going to admit our need for God and follow Jesus today. So we're just going to pray a prayer together for anyone that wants to join in. We've got a prayer on the screen. Anyone who feels they want to join in can join in with this, and it can either be a rededication of coming to God in your weakness and allowing his strength to fill in for your weakness. Let's pray together. Dear God, I need you. I am humbly calling out to you. I'm tired of doing things my way. Help me to start doing things your way. I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Saviour. Fill the emptiness in me with your Holy Spirit and make me whole. Lord, help me to trust in you. Help me to love you. Help me to live life for you. Help me to understand your grace, your mercy, and your peace. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Sorry for the typo there. Amen. Fantastic. So, thank you, Lord. And with that, I'm handing back over to Faith for the worship.